Welcome to the first edition of the OWEN podcast for equine practitioners, brought to you by the Ontario Animal Health Network, or OWEN. We're here today with Dr. Allison Moore, large animal internist from OMAFRA, Dr. Memo Arroyo, large animal internist from OVC, and Dr. Murray Hazlett, pathologist from the Animal Health Laboratory. Our topic for discussion today is optimizing diagnosis and treatment of late summer, early fall equine colitis cases. This podcast is designed to provide some quick and handy tips from Ontario's leading experts for veterinarians on the go. I'm Melanie Barham, coordinator for the Ontario Animal Health Network, and my co-interviewer is Andy Vince, pathologist of the Animal Health Lab in Guelph.
Let's get started. Today we're talking about colitis in horses. Memo, take us through the most common pathogens causing colitis in Ontario horses.
Thank you, Andy. Undifferentiated colitis is still the most common diagnosis for horse diarrhea. Oftentimes, we don't know the cause of the colitis. Salmonella, which is an important cause of diarrhea, can occur at any time of the year, although more common in summer months, and it can affect horses of any age. Lawsonia is also a bacterial pathogen that can affect foals around 6 months of age, although can be as young as 3 months and up to a year. There is one report from Japan who report a horse, a two-year-old with Lawsonia intracellularis as the cause of the colitis. Parasitism can occur at any age. Cytostomes, which are incisive parasites in the wall of the intestine, can occur at horses of any age. And in young horses, roundworms due to anti-helminthic resistance have been reported lately in Ontario. Clostridium causes can occur at any time of the year on animals of any age. Potomac horse fever can occur mainly on late spring, summer, early fall, and the peak occurs around July and August. Rotavirus affect foals, usually younger than 3 months of age. Colitis X, which is basically a diagnosis for a known cause of an acute sudden onset and very severe clinical signs of colitis. It's an animal that usually died acutely. Other causes of colitis can be iatrogenic, which is basically, let's say, feed overload. And there is also recently some reports of coronavirus in North America, has been reported in Japan and the United States, causing outbreaks of colitis in adult horses.
So, Murray, do you have anything to add from the lab side about case diagnosis?
Andy, the lab data shows a mild increase in cases in the summer months, that June, July, August. And unfortunately, from PM cases, the vast majority are deemed undifferentiated colitis. It's a frustrating issue.
Allison, why do we see a seasonal spike in colitis in horses in the late summer and the early fall?
We see spikes during this time for a few different reasons. For diseases such as Potomac horse fever, the cadfly and snail are key for the ecology of the disease. They prefer wet and warm conditions, hence we see this disease during the wetter summer months. Parasites such as cyathostomes display behaviors dependent on temperature. So in Ontario, encysted cyathostomes lay dormant over the winter and emerge in the spring, hence the spring cases of hypoproteinemia and diarrhea that we can see. However, if you're bringing horses back from Florida or similar southern climates, the encysted cyathostomes lay dormant over the heat of the summer there and emerge in the cooler months. So we may see this during the fall in Ontario. The age of the animal is also important for colitis, such as the disease such as Lawsonia. This disease occurs in 4 to 6 month old foals, so they usually reach this age during the spring or summer months, depending when they're born.
Okay, we'll deal with the case of over diarrhea next, but first, what are some early warning signs or different presentations of cases that might tip you off that a colitis is on the way?
So, Annie, some of the first signs of impending colitis are not always discriminatory, such as fever, which may only be represented as an increase in respiratory rate, dullness, lethargy, or inappetence. It is important to remember that horses can develop an internal diarrhea before they break with it externally. So they are dumping large amounts of fluid and electrolytes into their colon before anyone sees it. The horse may be quite dehydrated, have a high or irregular heart rate due to abnormal electrolyte regulation. And you may hear fluidy sounds on auscultation over the colon and cecum.
Memo, can you briefly review how to differentiate between colitis and a proximal enteritis?
Yes, Andy. So another term for proximate enteritis is DPJ. And DPJ cases are very similar or actually a type of colic. Usually animals present signs of colic, fever, depression. Some cases will develop cardiac arrhythmias. The hallmark of the disease is when the veterinarian passed the nasogastric tube, obtained a large amount of reflux, which can be of short of long-term duration. Some animals will develop toxic signs. The mucous membrane will have a toxin line. In a number of cases, may develop laminitis, although it's rare. They usually have a normal fecal output of normal manure, I should say. And on rectal examination, when the veterinarian feels the intestine, they usually are soft or squishy and feeling, as opposed to firm and tight like horses with torsions or obstructions, mechanical obstructions. They usually respond well to pain medications, and after relief of the stomach pressure with the nasogastric tube, the colic signs are alleviated and the horses look more depressed rather than colicky. On abdominal ultrasound, you can detect distended loop of small intestine that are hypomotile. And on belly tap or abdominal syntesis, samples from DPJ horses, they are usually clear or they show no abnormal changes, as opposed to surgical cases where in severe cases they can be more hemorrhagic or increased proteins, indicating that there is more devitalized intestine. Colitis cases, up to 30% of the DPJ cases will turn into colitis, in other words, will develop diarrhea. Clinically, animals are usually less painful, but you may see toxic lines on the mucous membrane, fever, dull, depression. And on rectal examination, sometimes feel soft fluid, feel cecum or gas distension, soft manure in the small colon and rectum. In ultrasound, normal to thickened colon and cecum, normal usually less than 0.8 centimeters. If they are thickened, they will be obviously thicker than that in cases of inflammation. Colitis cases can be anywhere from 1 up to severe cases that 11 centimeters and thickness of the cecum or colon.
So you might draw blood on any of these animals. A basic CBC profile is the best test you'd turn to as an equine veterinarian. What would you see on CBC and profile if a colitis is imminent?
You may see in some of these cases leukopenia with basically low white blood cell count. It's common to see electrolyte abnormalities, including low sodium, chloride, and potassium, and sometimes also calcium. Protein may also be low already, although it's difficult to detect sometimes in dehydrated animals. On the white blood cell count, you may see what we call a left shift or immature white cells or neutrophils. Some of the inflammatory proteins, some of them like fibrinogen or serum amyloid A, can be quite increased. For instance, serum amyloid A is an acute inflammatory protein, a very good indicator of inflammation, and it can be increased several folds in cases where there is signs or early signs of severe colitis. Fibrinogen is also a good inflammatory indicator, but in some of these cases, in early cases, may not be sensitive enough.
All right, so we've covered off the instance where you think colitis is on the way. What do you do to get a clear picture of impending colitis clinically and on blood work?
Thanks, Andy. It's important to ensure that the horse is well hydrated, first of all. Make sure they're still eating and drinking. Generally speaking, antibiotics are not recommended unless the white blood cell count is very low or there are persistent fever or the horse is not responding to the medical supportive therapy. If potamo horse fever is suspected, this animal should be treated with oxytetracycline or doxycycline. And most of these cases respond to treatment rapidly. In other words, within 2 to 4 doses, they will be responding to a treatment for potamo horse fever.
Allison, are there any infection control precautions that should be taken at this stage where you think the animal might break with colitis?
Well, Andy, common sense infection control should come into play. Any horse with colitis should be considered infectious until proven otherwise, with special consideration for salmonellosis or salmonella suspects. If a horse can be moved to a quarantine stall or a stall away from other horses, then that would be ideal. If this is not possible, then a foot bath or a change of boots should be present outside of the stall. Gloves and coveralls should be worn when touching the horse and cleaning the stall and kept in a bag outside. Affected horses should be dealt with after the needs of the healthy horses have been attended to. Disinfection products such as quaternary ammoniums, also known as Vercon or other similar products, or accelerated hydrogen peroxide such as Excel should be used for disinfection and in foot baths, keeping in mind to get rid of any manure or bedding off the feet before dipping into the bath. Well, barrows and other tools should be disinfected after use. And it's very important to keep children and pets away from the affected horse's stall and ideally that end of the barn.
Marie, what about the instance where the horse has already broken with diarrhea? How do we pursue testing in a practical, economical way?
Well, Andy, we can do EDTA blood testing, do a PCR test for Potomac horse fever. We can do fecal culture for salmonella, Clostridium difficile fecal toxin ELISA. Lawsonia testing, that can be done by PCR testing. And corona and rotavirus testing can also be done. The coronavirus is tested by PCR. We send out to Cornell. And rotavirus latex agglutination test is done also at Cornell. There are also PCR panels available at some private labs, and these are quite useful in screening these cases. I caution people to make sure that they interpret the PCR results in conjunction with the clinical signs and other testing.
Moving on to a topic with a happier ending, hopefully. If the horse has developed colitis, what are your first steps for treatment when you arrive on farm?
If there are signs of dehydration such as prolonged skin tan, tacky mucous membranes, or any other signs of dehydration, perhaps it's a good idea to not administer the NSAIDs or non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs to prevent kidney damage, and perhaps not give repetitive doses of NSAIDs to these cases. It is also important to take some biosecurity measures to prevent other animals from acquiring the disease in case there is something contagious in the barn.
So, Allison, if you're unable to refer the horse, can you offer any advice about on-farm treatment of colitis?
Well, Andy, certainly treatment of colitis on farm is possible, but it is also very stressful to veterinarians and to owners to maintain some of these horses on farm. So that's a key discussion to have with your clients. The key is to replace fluid lost to support, the circulation and blood pressure, and prevent further fluid loss. And also sequelae such as endotoxemia, which can lead to laminitis and clotting abnormalities, including jugular thrombosis. The real key is providing large doses, and that can be upwards of 100 liters of replacement intravenous fluid, such as lactated Ringer solution. Hypertonic saline can be used to provide circulatory support, but should always be followed with lactated Ringers or a similar replacement fluid. Many horses with colitis have low sodium, but if you don't know how low it is, replacing it with just sodium chloride can be dangerous and may lead to some neurological signs, particularly if you raise the sodium level too quickly. Hence, you really need to know what the electrolyte level is during treatment. Oral fluids containing balanced electrolytes should be offered and or given by nasogastric tube. But the absorption of fluid in an animal with colitis is often impaired and cannot be relied upon as the sole way to administer fluids in cases if there's significant diarrhea. Products such as Pepto-Bismol can be used, but large volumes, such as 2 to 3 liters every 4 to 6 hours, are required. Products such as BioSponge are very useful, and they have been shown to absorb clostridial toxins. Again, early in the disease, you need to give at least 1 pound delivered by nasogastric tube every 12 hours. And some novel treatments after the horse has been stabilized and the diarrhea continues to persist. People have tried fecal transplantation using manure from a healthy horse on the farm, and that is always an option in dire cases. And again, you want to provide low-dose phenoxymethylamine to prevent endotoxemia and provide some inflammatory relief.
So, Allison, do you have anything else to add?
Well, Andy, from a biosecurity standpoint, there are some very good resources at the OMAFRA website, on the AAP website, and there are some guidelines for owners at the Equine Guelph website, and they can all be Googled.
Working backwards a little, what vaccines do we have available for prevention of colitis?
Thank you, Andy. So there is a Potomac horse fever vaccine for horses, and anecdotally seems to reduce the clinical signs, but has not been shown to prevent the animal from acquiring the disease. There is a Lawsonia vaccine developed for pigs, which is currently under investigation to be used in foals.
Allison, Memo, Murray, thanks so much for joining us today. For the veterinarians listening to this podcast, additional resources for equine colitis can be found on the AHL website or by searching Disease Surveillance Plan OMAFRA on Google. Thanks for tuning in today.